So for familiar fluids, it requires more timing compared to other wipes and nasal wipes, for example, 30 to 40 minutes. Nasal wipe, just straightforward, you go to the snout of the pig, and other wipe, you go to the other of that sow, that litter, and you are, is fast. So the advantage in this case, it would be for nasal wipes very fast, and other wipe very fast, very straightforward.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Through innovative solutions, cutting-edge research, and world-class experts, Boehringer Ingelheim helps producers operate with complete confidence. Learn more at bi-animalhealth.com. Get your full value from start to finish with Elanco. Farm Health Guardian, digital technology for better biosecurity.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. My name's Dr. Clayton Johnson. I'm the host of the podcast, and it is my pleasure to welcome you in to part two of our two-part influenza surveillance series with Dr. Daniel Morais. Now, we did part one last week, and if you haven't listened to part one, I would urge you to go ahead and skip back 1 week where Daniel talks about his research project looking at family oral fluids as an influenza surveillance option compared to, say, nasal wipes or udder wipes. In this episode, we are going to dive into the practicality. So if you haven't listened to the background information, go listen to last week's. You'll get Daniel's introduction. You'll get an overview of his research project. Then you can kick off on this one. For part two, we're going to dive straight into the practical application on farm of Daniel's research. How easy is it to collect these samples? How many samples do we need to collect? All the information you're going to need to take his research and implement it on your farm. Okay, so without further ado, let's welcome Dr. Daniel Morais back into the podcast. Daniel is a PhD candidate at the Iowa State University College of Vet Medicine with the Field Epi team. And Daniel, if you would, let's dive right into this. How practical is it to collect these oral fluid samples? How does the timing of collection compare to, say, our nasal wipe and our udder wipe options? And then maybe the percentage success rate that we have with each of those different samples that we can collect. Dan, you want to start off and take the audience through that?
About the timing, usually what for this study, and I think what we are used to do, is about 30 to 40 minutes on average for familiar fluids. So I would say first, those sample types, they have those, each of them have those characteristics, right? So for familiar fluids, it requires more timing compared to other wipes and nasal wipes, for example, 30 to 40 minutes. Nasal wipe, just straightforward, you go to the snout of the pig, and other wipe, you go to the other of that sow, that litter, and you are, is fast. So the advantage in this case, it would be for nasal wipes very fast, and other wipe very fast, very straightforward. And familiar fluid has this advantage that it requires more time. But also, I would bring a good point from this side. Also, if you look for it, it gives the opportunity for the piglets have some contact with the rope. So we know that depends each litter, you have one interaction, a different number of piglets interacting with the rope. And also the sow contributes to bring the piglets. And also depends the position of the rope that you hang. So, for example, I did not mention that, but for familiar fluids, we hang the rope in the opposite side of the drinker, and also in a height that allows the sow and all the piglets be comfortable to access. And also we get one rope and we divide in three strains and we hang only one strain. So, and usually in the morning, that because piglets and the sow, they are more interested to go. So I would say Well, it's a disadvantage for timing comparing to the others, but also it might be good advantage in terms of contact for the animals with the rope. And you may, at that time that you are collecting, you may have, depending on each litter, right? Some we have more and some we have less interaction. And also what is important to think, because here we are talking about population-based sampling, for example, familiar fluids and other wipes, they have, like we said, this cost efficiency and also improved coverage. But also, if your question in this case is, okay, I'm interested in get some sequencing or virus isolation, or depending what you're looking, also, it's also very important to have in mind for individual sampling, as nasal wipe or nasal swab or oropharyngeal. It all depends on what you feel more comfortable collecting and getting. And in the end, what's very important by the sample type that you are testing is the way that you are collecting and doing it correctly and all the shipment. So to be sure that in the end you are collecting a good sample and ship them, because we have so many variables during this sampling collection and shipment to the veterinary diagnostic laboratory that may influence in your results. So all depends what you're, okay, I'm looking for screening, or I'm looking, like I said, sequencing or virus isolation. It's very important to have this clear in mind, what's your purpose and what you want in the end from this testing. And the number of sampling by, because sometimes what we observed on the surveillance project, a different study now that I'm saying, Two examples here very quickly that I think is very applicable. One of the farms that we have been monitoring currently, this farm before the study said, okay, the producer told us, okay, I think I don't have influenza virus here. And basically in the end, this farm was more subclinical. And he was surprised because we detected in consecutive months. And it's just interesting how dynamic is in the farm. So you may think, oh, I don't have, and you may have. And another interesting aspect is that for a farm that, for example, oh, I am targeting influenza elimination. And okay, so you need to understand what you have, and to be able to understand, you need to test consecutively, not only one time, because you may have, depending on the location, the aspects of your farm, a lateral introduction, I mean, influenza from a near farm around your farm, or a fomite, so many variables, right? Hard to list here, all of them. But for this farm, what we detect, because we were monitoring this farm that was targeting elimination, we got a different sequencing that was in their vaccine. So you think, okay, I am eliminating and I needed to update. Was the same strain in the vaccine, but just the coverage that it was based on their criteria was not in their eligible criteria. So they update. We did the virus isolation, send the sequencing, and they made those updates. So in the end, it's very important, this monitoring also, to update again, to be able to understand what you have circulating and on your question. In this example that I mentioned, they were targeting. So they were very focused and interesting to understand what they had in the farm.
Salmonella presents significant challenges to pig health and performance and poses food safety risks to humans. As the first and only vaccine offering live attenuated strains of both Salmonella cholera suis and Typhimurium, Enterasol Salmonella TC from Boehringer Ingelheim protects pigs against both serotypes with a single oral dose. Talk to your Boehringer Ingelheim representative to learn more.
It's outstanding information, Daniel. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing all that with our audience. I think they're much better educated now on influenza surveillance and what their options are. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you very much for this opportunity again. Yes, thank you.
Well, Daniel, we couldn't do it without the audience. So for everybody out there listening, thank you very much for being a part of the podcast. If you haven't subscribed, please make sure to do so. That's your job as an audience member, is sign up. Like the podcast and subscribe to it. Daniel and I did our job. We made a nice episode for you here. So now you've got a job as an audience to go out and help us get the word out. We really appreciate the opportunity to bring these to you. For Dr. Daniel Moraes, I'm Dr. Clayton Johnson. Thanks very much for joining us on the Swine Health Black Belt podcast. And we look forward to seeing you again